Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for organizers, David and Bob, for giving me an opportunity to share our study on SCN using the mapping associations approach to understand the gene resistant to SCN. And for those of you not familiar with SCNs, my talk will be briefly talking about SCN damage, why we study SCN, and what resistance source we have so far, and also what genetic analysis we found so far. And after that, I'm talking about our research result on the mapping association, and also the go-to application aspect and for molecular breeding. My talk focused on and mainly came from the two publication article we published recently. One talking about the association mapping, and the second one we focus on the marker development for breeding. As you see in the slide here, most of you know that soybean production in the U.S. and in the world, with the over 255 million metric tons, the first one is the U.S., of course, and the second is the Brazil and Argentina. But at the same time, we face the problem that the first disease is the SCN, based on the survey over the years. You see, among the disease in the soybean, SCN always number one. And over 1 billion annually get lost from those diseases. That's the phytoparasites that cause the damage on the soybean, and that's the major area in the U.S. Now, with that, of course, as the other crops, we always, the breeder, always looking for resistant sort and start a breeding program. And then SCN resistant breeding always had the long history. You can see here from the 60, this PI already discover and use a resistant sort for the breeding. The next one would be the this sort, AA7, A8, and recently there's the PI. And of course, these three sorts, resistant sorts, that play the key role for the breeding, and the breeding developed the resistant cultivar prove that the effective and practical method to deal with this pest. But when you look at that, the tree resistance source is very narrow. At the same time, we face the problem that very, very narrow genetic backgrounds, and so that pressure on the nematode population involved. And then soybean resistance becomes vulnerable to the shift, genetic shift of the nematode population in the field, and then the survey on its row show that they shift between the races. One cultivar resistant reach this races, the next few years they become vulnerable, it's susceptible. That's why the effort was made continue to discover the new sources, resistant sources. Talking about the genetic analysis, and also have a long history, that 1994, the first study discovered and mapped the first QTL on the SCN resistant. And after that, a lot of study developed population, use a biparental mapping population, map QTL, and you can see the same trend that the other QTL and other traits, a huge number of publications and published. And 2004, Concibido, in his review paper and review on the QTL study so far, and then they report that about 17 QTL map on the cross of 20 chromosomes of soybean. Now, after that, Gore and his group and used the meta QTL analysis, he confirmed that the two major QTL, the well-known that RG1 on chromosome 18, and the second one, RG4 on chromosome 8. And beside that, also the other three QTL confirmed that the major QTL and very popular among the resistant source. Now, in our lab, we also try to develop, identify the new source. And among the new source, we found that three PIs, and we use the same approach to develop bipenetral mapping population and map QTL. And this PI show that they have the novel QTL on chromosome 10. And then the second, the QTL, the same chromosome 18, but different from the RG1, the well-known and well-studied. That we consider as a novel QTL and the new source, different from the non-source that only mainly detect or confirm the non-QTL on the other region, like RG1, RG4. At the same time, we also found that this source, but the study showed that just the same QTL region, just kind of confirmation QTL. And also from the chimplasm evaluation, we found that the new source have the same QTL region as the source that we published in 2010. Now, as a SCN and the soybean community, we all know that the two major QTL already cloned and well-known, well-studied, and the enteroband group already cloned this gene, and we call the RG1. And then resistant mechanism show that that's not only single gene, but the three genes repeated nine times. So meaning that resistant mechanism here controls by number copy number variation. So the resource of the resistant source different by the number of the copy. And the RG4 also cloned that Melissa Meacham or group lab already cloned and then report that this RG4 locus have the single gene controls the system to SCN. Now, in our lab, as the effort was made, I mentioned earlier that because of narrow genetics, the resistance source, we always think that, okay, we can find the new resistance source. So among the over 500 PI from USDA chimplasm collection, we screening for different SCN races. The table summarized that over 40 PI, new PI, showed resistance, different level, different races. Now, with the gene, RG1, RG4 genome clone, we do haplotype analysis, and this column show you that RG1, based on number of copy variation, this group have a packing type resistance. So meaning they have a low medium copy number variation, around 3-4. Meanwhile, this group have a 8-8-7-8 type. They have a higher number of variation, copy number variation. At the same time, the third group show that they don't have arch packing or 8-8-7-8 type. So they don't have RG1, RG4 locus. So something over there. So talking about the mapping, so we all know that, you know, mainly we develop biparental mapping population and try to map QTL. And genotyping we can use, in the past we use SSR, and lately we use our SNP and different type, different platform. It could be Illumina Golden Gate, it could be a Affinium chip, a 6,000 SNP. So different mapping, different resolution, and a lot of QTL mapping reported. Now, after the chip, so we have a new platform, new technology with whole genome sequencing. So in our lab, we have a study and published 2 years ago. We use the whole genome sequencing, resequencing, and then we study with the root knot nematode, not SCN, but this example, I show you that whole genome sequencing technology. Among over 1 million SNPs, we found out that about over 100 good SNPs, and then use that to construct a bin map. And we have over 3,000 bin as markers to map. This figure shows that over 3,000 bin, and we map on the mapping population around 250 real. So with that resolution, with that approach, we identify the QTL, the locus, and that's exactly the same in the previous report. But the bin size is very narrow, 29.7 kb. So looking out to the candidate gene on that region, we found that among five candidate genes, two of them are true. Right now, our study on the progress to study functional and put in the functional of that two genes. So there's the effort ongoing. So it means that whole genome sequencing also help us to pinpoint the candidate gene compared to the conventional approach that we just use, you know, SNP or arrays or another low resolution, but it still need to one step that we need to find mapping. Now, whole genome sequencing allow us to be able to go to after candidate gene. This slide I used from the review paper many years back. So we all know that between the two approaches, so each of them they have advantage and disadvantage. With the disadvantage of linkage mapping, so we all know that. So now we use a new approach. Of course, each of them, they have an advantage. As the slide show you that, and many of you maybe review this paper. So now talking about soybean, what about mapping association in soybean? So the table just leads on the study so far. Different traits on the study, different level of the market resolution or use, different size of population on the use. And you look at the SDN, they have a two study. The last number of SSR markers use a small population. And lately, so we use that, they use the SNP, 1536 SNP arrays on soybean, and the population size also, you know, over 200. Now, what about us? Our study, what are different? What's new? So this slide shows you that the material and method we use. We use over 500 PLI that Dr. Randy Nelson already selected based on his previous study that showed that the best represented for the diverse plasm in soybean, but we just select the maturity group from 3 to 5 because that fit into our areas, because we cannot work on the, you know, 000 or 2 or even late, you know, 7. And then SCN phenotyping in our lab in at Mizu, we have very good SCN phenotyping facility and produce a lot of reliable data. So the protocol already well established, we just use that and produce very reliable data. And market data, we use the 50Ks, you know, that soybean community use nowadays, 50Ks. And among that, after we clean it up the SNP, so we have 35,000 good SNP used for mapping. And for the software to do GWAS, so we use Tesla and Agavit. So as you know, the well-known, and also we use commercial product, the name it SVS from the Golden Gate Helix. But we on most results, it came from the Gabbit. We run it R package. And also we use another software and then platform to look at candidate gene. So phylogenetics and the phenotypic data distribution, we use a female index. That's a quantitative measurement so that we know exactly each PI they have a level based on the female cyst. And we count it based on the root system. So that's that measure relatively accurate the resistance level of the HPI. So that's the distribution of the female index, and among them you can see here about, you know, less than 30 PI show the resistance, less than 10% of the female index. And phylogenetics used at 50 Ks show that they have a 5 cluster on the construct, and among them, most of the PI, resistant BI, cluster together, different level. And the PI also came from different type. As I mentioned earlier, the packing type, 8878 type, or the new type that from the PI that we can 437654. So very nice that the SNP, 35,000 SNP allow us to differentiate the system level of PI, the source that we studied. Again, for the study for association mapping, we also look at the principal component analysis and kinship, make sure that our population will meet the requirement and that the diverse not really related, so that we feel confident on the result that we found it. And also we look at the linkage disequilibrium. So for soybean, if you look at the R's correlation coefficient between the SNP in each chromosome, they decline over the physical distance. And then if the cutoff value at 0.2, that average the R square about 250 kb. That's a little bit larger than the other crops, but understandable because soybean is self pollinated compared to the corn. That's understandable, and then agreement with the other study in the past. So we feel confident that the data and phenotypic data and also SNP that we use at reliable. Now, the main result, look at the Manhattan plot, show the QTL we detect. We detect about 16 QTL. That's understandable because that's a huge population, over 500 PI, including susceptible and resistant. Now, interestingly, beside that, we confirm the RG1, RG4, and linkage O, that chromosome that I just mentioned earlier, that the novel QTL that our lab already discovered from the new PI. Again, confirm the well-known studied QTL, also confirm the QTL that our lab already published, that the new source. So we feel confident with that. Beside that, we also use the data to analyze some single Mendelian trait like a flower color, pubescent color. We all know that single gene. We know exactly the position of that. And then, I didn't show here, but Manhattan plot show exactly position that pubescent color and then flower color, the two phenotypes, the map exactly on the well-known locus. So we feel confident that the SNP data and then phenotypic data we use here, the data we report for SDN, that's reliable. And again, I mentioned earlier that we, of course, we go after candidate gene, and analysis show that the cluster of the functional of the some genes related to resistant diseases on the reported here. And the table lists about 160 candidate genes related to resistant to disease. I don't expect you to read all of these, but I just focus on two locus, two regions. Number one, the earlier slide I showed that the Andrew Benn already cloned the gene, RG1 gene, and three candidate genes listed here, you can see here. And then our study exactly mapped and then identified three candidate genes. And then the novel QTL, I just mentioned that our lab reported, also reported here. The QTL reported, identified by conventional mapping approach, but association mapping also identify the region and then also report the candidate gene. It's another version of the chromosome linkage O. Now, what's next? So people, what breeder can benefit from this one? Like Marion only mentioned earlier, that, you know, what Peter benefit from our QTL mapping on the 100 paper, but what Peter benefit from that. So we use the non here, the RT1, the candidate gene, and RT4, that two major gene for SCN. And then also the novel QTL that our lab reported, and another QTL also from our lab reported. Look at SNP variation, and then we design the assay. So as you know that we can use a Tapman assay, we can use the simple probe assay, we can use the melting curve assay, but we use Cas assay because that from the breeding standpoint, we're always looking for cost effective. So among that, Tapman assay very expensive and then very, very sensitive. Simple probes also is very good, but expensive. So we use Cas. So based on each locus, we develop the assay for each, like RT1, we have a 2, RT4, we have a 2, O, we have a 1, and then B1, we have a 1. And beside the test, we try to confirm the assay, but also we validate that SNP assay on the 5 mapping population or breeding population listed here. You can see the second column lists on population with this resistant sort and used for breeding to validate that SNP worked very well for us. And then there's the clean shot show that the test, the east SNP here, for east locus, RG1, RG4, O, and also the test on the population, breeding population or mapping population. And also, after that, the breeder, two breeders in our state, Dr. Shannon and Dr. Skebu, so they developed the breeding line, used that source for their program for SCN resistant. And we use the SNP and assay test them for each of locus RG1 and RG4, and they show exactly as expected. It depends on the sort, like A7 and 8, or packing. We need either one SNP or we need both. So compared to the check, so we exactly as expected. So now, in other words, we can say, okay, now breeder can use the markers in our lab, which are typed for you, and you confirm that. So again, to conclude my talk, TPK exactly, definitely the very, very valuable resource for our soybean community. We can use it for different mapping and analysis. The advantage of the mapping work is we don't need a structured population. We can use any population. Of course, you know, the more the better. But of course, you know, the best that you can use the good, the best representative, the diverse germplasm, so that we can detect the QTL or confirm QTL or detect the new QTL, new source. Again, compared to leakage mapping, association mapping, the to us the effective strategy to identify complex traits. Well, you have to use that high resolution markers. And so that allow us to go after candidate gene. We think that we can bypass the fine mapping from now on. If we have a very, for example, whole genome sequencing now, we have a million SNP. Now, markers, SNP developed based on known or confirmed, or based on, we call that gene-based markers with the cost-effective assay. So we can help breeders either use MAS or backcrossing or genome-wise accessed molecular breeding now. So that's the benefit to the breeding, to the breeder. Well, thank you for all the funding agency and also all the people contribute to our study. So with that, I stop my talk and I take any question. Not many, based on phylogenetics. Not many, mainly as the phylogenetics show that. Just a few of them, you can see here, have 8A7A type. Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
How does that factor into your
GWAS? What? Would you just ask it again?
The reason I asked the question is because I'm not an expert in this area, but I've heard that RHG1 can have an epistatic interaction on other SCN PTL. So I'm curious how you handle that in your GWAS.
No, we didn't look into it yet. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.